be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, may the word of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight throughout this season, in Christ Jesus' most humble name. Amen. A few years ago, right after Thanksgiving, I received a letter from a pastoral friend. It was his annual Christmas letter that he sent out, greetings to everyone, and sent to a host of all friends. And toward the end of it, he had this beautifully composed thought. He spoke about the days of Advent ahead. And he wrote, observe them carefully. I've never forgotten those words. When the days of Advent roll around every year, I'm reminded by my pastoral friend's appeal. Observe them carefully. Advent, you see, is the season before the season. There is no question that the season coming is Christmas. You can see that all in your neighborhoods and the shopping malls and everywhere else. Emotionally, it's the biggest celebration that we engage in as Christians, even though our theology and our liturgy points to actually Easter, to Good Friday and Easter more, as the supreme festival. Then too, Christmas is a celebration that can make us and break us economically. Whether as a customer or a merchant, it's simply the biggest day around for most everyone. We put a lot of stock in Christmas. And because of this, it's good advice to observe carefully the days before Christmas. It should be the same, it would be a shame to prepare poorly or lightly for this great festival. More sadly, it would be a total shame if we miss the whole point of Christmas. Hence my friend's warning, observe the days carefully. And thus we have this season before the season. Tonight, one of those jubilant Advent hymns of the church will help us and guide us along. The hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying, was written by a German Lutheran pastor, Philipp Nicolai, who lived shortly after Martin Luther. It was based on the text of our gospel lesson tonight and other scriptural references. The English translation that we have was written by the great Catherine Wentworth, and Pastor Nicolai was considered a genius, not only for his beautiful poetry, but his great preaching, also for his talents as a composer. Some Lutherans consider this tune to be the king of chorales and the tune he composed for O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright, to be the queen of chorales. If you didn't know it, Charlene Sunday played the Wacht auf as the prelude, and it is the most beautiful, beautiful king of chorales, a beautiful prelude. She'll be playing that again this Advent. Is that true, Charlene? Yeah. Oh, by another composer. Go back to Bach. He does a great job. Wake, awake, for night is flying. Leads us down two main tracks of thought. The first stanza, and if you open up your bulletins, you'll see it there. And I'm going to ask somebody to read this. We'll see if Dan will read it, but wait, Dan, till I tell you. The first stanza of the hymn starts us down this first track. So let's hear it from Dan. Dan, would you read it out loud? Okay. In these words, Philippe Nicolai introduces to us an Advent parable that Jesus once told. The parable of the sleeping maidens or virgins, the 10 virgins. Like the Christmas letter from my friend, the message of this charming little parable in the hymn is a warning. Wake, awake! Christmas is coming. The bridegroom is here. Watch what you are doing. Be aware of what is happening. For all the gravity of this message, the parable relates a rather lighthearted occasion, though. It's almost a game, because if you don't understand what it's talking about, Jesus' little parable, you might not get the gist of what it was going on. You see, in Jesus' day, people liked to inject into the wedding scene some playful surprises, some playful elements, similar to maybe tying a bunch of cans to a rope and putting it on the bride and groom's car, putting shoe polish on their windows, and throwing bird seed at them as they come out. Well, they too had their little practices that they liked to do. And one of those surprise elements included the bridegroom's arrival at the bride's home before the wedding ceremony in order to claim her and her attendants. And at this point, the groom would take them and the families and the wedding guests to the wedding hall for the ceremony, reception, and the honeymoon. These events together could last sometimes up to 7 days or even more. It just depended how rich you really were. The playful part of all of it was a challenge to the bridegroom to arrive at the bride's house when she wasn't ready. At that moment, they would catch her and her maidens unprepared. That was the fun of that day. What better time to pull off such a surprise than some hour during the middle of the night? And that's the scene of the song describes here in stanza one. Christmas is coming soon. And this season before the season bids us to watch, wake, get up, be observant, be ready, be careful. What is it that we are so careful about doing during this season of before the season? Well, let me put it this way, and you will have to follow this thought closely. You see, during the season of Advent, we are to become aware of the coming season, Christmas. It's never complete in and of itself. Christmas season only has a fully productive meaning for us when we sense and experience its fulfillment during the season of Lent and Holy Week, Easter. To put it in visual terms, Advent calls us to see the cross of Jesus Christ in the manger. Advent is the time of joy for the Christmas season that comes. Prepare our hearts for that message that only starts at Christmas, but ends with the cross and a body not in the grave. As we gaze into the quiet skies of the Christmas silent night, we need to discern a triumphant, risen Jesus Christ coming towards us in the last day when we, like the virgins, should be ready and awakened to meet Christ in the last day. You see, the second track of that thought, the hymn writer leads us down is a vision of this resplendent, overflowing joy that comes as we receive the Christ of Judgment Day and enter into the heavenly home. In a few moments, I'm going to invite you once again, and this time I'll invite who would like to read. Tom, would you read over there for us? I'll invite you to read it, this second verse. Not yet. But right now, this season of Advent calls us to discern very quickly and precisely what is the, not only the coming season of Christmas, but also the second season that we should be preparing for, of Christ's return. Now, Tom. What is it all about? Why this night? Why this preparation? This is all another way of asking, what really is the gospel of Christmas? Because in today's world, it's many things. For some, a kind of gospel during the coming weeks will be the Christmas spirit charmingly presented in irresistible characters such as Grinch and Scrooge and Elf, or in ultimate fashion, a big red coated Santa Claus. Or as this age becomes increasingly one in which we create unrealistic images of life, the gospel of the season may come in the form of family traditions, magazines, crafts shows, and recipe books. Football games that we need to watch. They all create illusions of softness and of glow of yesteryear in the homes that we grew up in. And these shimmering holiday images become a kind of gospel that covers over serious, sometimes family tensions and dysfunctions. And after Christmas, sad to say, this false gospel leaves us. We take down all the decorations, and then we're left to glare in the glare of some troubled relationships that, once again, never got fixed. And that's the sad part of those gospels. They fall apart. For still others, the gospel of the coming season will arrive in the form of a baby Jesus. Parents will openly talk about him. Even distinguished entertainers will touchingly share with us the songs and poetry about this little stranger. It's as though during an encounter with Jesus, we will magically be transformed. Somehow cold-hearted hearts will be melted and the hard side of our behavior will somehow be softened in response to the appeal of those great songs. But even this is a false gospel. These gospels are all difficult to reject precisely because they're so touching to our hearts and our minds. But the warning of Advent comes to say, watch, observe the days carefully. The warning of Advent comes to say, keep watch, awake. The profound joy that the hymn writer here speaks of springs from a richer and fuller gospel than Christmas spirit or family traditions or isolated scenes involving a baby Jesus. A gospel that also devastates the other quaint, sentimental Christmases, gospels. It's the real gospel that we want to get to. About the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Advent bids us to meet the awesome Son of God who came from the Father in the mystery of a virgin birth, Christ Jesus, among us. In the degradation of a drafty manger, the poor one pressed to flee the land in tender infancy because somebody already wanted to kill him. The Savior of the world, crucified, died, buried, and risen again, seated at the right hand of God until he comes again. That's what this is about. This Christ of the Nativity and Lent. And Easter brings a joy so full and embracing that the halls of heaven echo with jubilation. This is the full Christmas gospel. The season before the season warns us, do not miss the message. Do not miss the joy that reaches deep. This joy of salvation that changes everything, histories, hearts, homes, families, people. Not miss the gospel that makes us new people. For it is the cross of Jesus Christ that forgives our sins. His blood cleanses our hearts. He raised with him by the power of the Spirit, we are overtaken by a living Easter faith. That instills in us a joyful determination to live as God's people. So now we sing about this as we close our evening worship service.